This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
8:15 now, waiting for the rain this evening. Starts around 7 or 8, and could be maybe street flooding situations. It all depends on where the showers park. They can't tell you where, but just give you a time frame on it. So before you leave the house tomorrow, you might want to check to see what's going on so you don't drive into a flooded street and flood your car. You don't want that to happen. State Representative Troy Hebert joins us now to talk about what's going on in the session. How you doing, Representative?
Good morning.
Thanks for taking.
How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me what's got your attention, some of the bills that you've filed, and is it all about insurance?
Well, majority of my bills filed in this session were in insurance. As we've discussed before, I did get off the House floor. It moved the Fortified Roof Program for the Department of Insurance to the Senate. I have a bill coming up this week in the Senate it's a lapse in coverage bill. Mm-hmm. Basically, that bill on the insurance side doesn't allow insurance companies to do rate hikes on your first lapse in coverage of your insurance, meaning, I don't know, you might have forgot to pay. Maybe you went to boot camp, didn't realize you were supposed to turn in your plate, report your plate that your car was parked all that time. And then when you came back and tried to get insurance on your vehicle, you could have had anywhere from a 16 to 20% or maybe even higher rate hike. So we put a bill in place that works with insurance, and basically it doesn't allow them to do any rate hikes on your first lapse in coverage, which a lot of people have been sending in emails thanking us for running this bill because there are a lot of life events that happen. Mm-hmm. However, this bill also doesn't promote not driving with insurance. So if the individual 5 or more years doesn't lapse in coverage and they have another life event that may cause them to lapse in coverage, well, then the insurance companies will get like a repeat, we'll call it, and you'll avoid a rate hike again in that next lapse in coverage. So I think it's a good consumer protection bill. I do have a bill on insurance reform package, capping contingency fees on attorneys at 10% on the first $15,000. However,
wait, say that part again.
You have your minimum coverage of $15,000. Mm-hmm. In all your auto insurance, we are putting a fee to cap the first $15,000 instead of getting, I don't know, 30, 40% on the first $15,000, they would get 10%. But currently right now I'm working with individuals to see if we can put that bill in a better place. So I'm kind of keeping that bill parked for a minute while we're having more conversations on it. And then we passed one off the floor last night. Workforce Commission has a unemployment portal where businesses can report to the portal if they believe someone is on unemployment benefits and they maybe didn't show up for interviews or not meeting all work search criteria that they're supposed to gain their benefits. That portal, there's a portal that's been out there on the Workforce Commission for a year now that people can report, and it allows a business can report if someone didn't show up for an interview. And because they may believe that that individual just scheduled the interview and didn't show up because to meet a unemployment benefits requirement. What we did yesterday on the floor was we codified and we kept that portal in place permanently, and we increased work search criteria from 3 events a week to 5. Did that on behalf of the Louisiana Workforce Commission. And then I have another bill which gained a lot of attention in the New Orleans market. It's called the Restaurant Reservation Bill, where AI bots on various on reservation sites were actually going on restaurant websites and taking up all the restaurant reservations unknown to the actual restaurant owner, and then turning around and reselling those reservations for profit, and that without the restaurant owner knowing. And so basically we didn't block that business model. All we did in the bill that's also left the House is we're just requiring anyone who is going to take these type of reservations on behalf of the business owner, the restaurant, that they have to have a written agreement like just about any of the reservation site out there. That's turned into a pretty interesting bill. Other states have kind of moved on this legislation as well. I think the biggest part of the story on this bill was during the Super Bowl, someone paid, I think it was $2,100 or $2,200 to get a 4-top reservation at Antoine's. And so it's just all we're trying to do in this bill is make sure that the restaurants know what's going on. They understand that these people are profiting off of their restaurant, their hard work, and if they're going to do those type of reservation sites, they just have a written agreement with the restaurant owner. So insurance, unemployment, working with business community, I'm kind of all over the board in this session.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back. I know I'm glad what you're doing about the reservations. I got screwed over on Paul Simon tickets where I bought them from a secondary buyer. I didn't realize that and paid double the price of the tickets and didn't realize it until I claimed them. So I don't know if there's anything we can do about that or not. 822 traffic now, WWL. 826 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Representative Troy Hebert talking about the session and about insurance. When it comes to the automobile insurance, exorbitant rates and the dust up with the trial attorneys and it's them. What hope can you give anybody, Representative, that anything's going to be done either with tort reform or some meaningful change that's going to put us more on a par with Mississippi or Texas when it comes to car insurance?
Yeah, listen, when I got elected, one of the things that I ran on was coming as a real estate professional and broker and in real estate investor. We started watching the rising cost of home insurance, how it started to affect even deals being put together. You know, the rising interest rates on top of rising costs of insurance were starting to become obstacles for people to purchase homes. We start to see that again into the investor market as well. And then it just troubled in from that point of view, that point. And so I actually asked the speaker if I could be put on the insurance committee, which, you know, I'm sure many people were trying to avoid that committee. But I believe it's the number one problem in the state of Louisiana by far. It's the problem that you hear the most from constituents. You knock on doors, you go say hello, you go introduce yourself. People are suffering, people are hurting. After the last regular session, we had 5 months of insurance hearings where you had business owners, people, just general constituents. You had doctors, lawyers, everyone coming talk about all the different facets of how rising costs of insurance is affecting them. So we put together a package of bills, and we passed 16 insurance bills out of the House of Representatives in this fiscal session. All 16 bills are now on the Senate side. They range from property and casualty, like the Fortified Roof Program, to the help lower insurance rates. There's tort reform bills in there. There are consumer-friendly bills on the insurance side in there as well. I think we just decided that we had to do something. Constituents are calling. They're telling us that they want tort reform. They are asking for something to be done in that nature. There are many bills in that 16 that I guess we can call that address the tort-related scenario. Not that I will say that insurance companies are angels at the same time, but I do believe that if a good bit of these bills come across the Senate and make it to the governor's desk and are signed, I do believe that there are some proven litigation out there in other states that that do help and assist in lowering rates.
Right.
So we're going to give it a shot.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate your time, Representative Troy Hebert. We'll come back, talk to Steve Nelson, General Superintendent of the Sewage and Water Board, talk about the rain that's coming. And I'm going to tell you something about happened at the Colosseum in Rome, an American tourist. I don't think you're going to want to do this. We'll tell you when we return. Right now, time for WWL First News. 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talked to Peyton Malone about an hour ago. He says after 7, 8 o'clock tonight and overnight, there could be showers that park themselves or training effect, however you want to say it. Maybe 8 inches of rain in one area, maybe in another. How do you handle all of that if you're pumping out the city of New Orleans? Steve Nelson joins us now, General Superintendent of the Sewage and Water Board of New Orleans. It's just as easy as flipping the switch and getting the water out, right, Steve? No.
would that that were the case, Tommy.
Let's take it from the beginning, if we can, because I think with all the oak trees that we have and all of the pecan trees now that are bleeding these little fuzzy things or shedding them, whatever you want to call it, how important is it that people today, if they can safely get out and just make sure that the drain is clear so the water can get in the drain? Because if the water can't get in the drain, you're not accomplishing anything, are you?
Yeah, well, you touched on an important point, and this talking point's probably been repeated about 500 times over the last 48 hours, but we can handle 1 inch of rain in that first hour and a half inch every hour thereafter, and that refers to the system as a whole. It's not just the pumps, and it starts with the catch basins and the lateral lines, and as you mentioned, if we can start by clearing trash and debris, if we notice leaves or garbage or grass clippings in front of our catch basins, we can start by clearing those and then the smaller diameter lines. And that's just the front of the catch basin. No need to go into it. Just clear what's out front.
Because of the leaf debris and so forth and all that stuff that accumulates, right?
Yep, that's right. If the catch basin's, if the front of it's clogged and the water can't get to it, then obviously it can't get down the lateral pipe into the canal or even to our pumps.
And along those lines, I always like to keep it simple, stupid, as they say. So I guess you don't want people putting their garbage out tonight either, right? Because those cans get dumped over and then the stuff clogs the drains. And if it doesn't get to the drain, then again, you're not accomplishing anything.
Yeah, that's a great point. Mentioned that yesterday as well. Be aware of where we put our trash cans. If we can exercise some caution. My trash pickup is Wednesday morning as well, so I'm going to be putting my trash cans a little bit higher up on the sidewalk so folks can see them, but so they don't float, tip over, and do exactly like you mentioned.
So I'm looking at a map here at the dashboard, drainage pump station status. I just want to get back to an inch an hour and a half an inch thereafter. If it rains an inch in Carrollton and none at all in New Orleans East, you can't expect, or rather if it rains 9 inches in Carrollton and an inch in New Orleans East, you can't expect Carrollton, it's going to be different, right? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw that very thing on the 21st. We had a lot of rain across the city. We had, you know, upwards of 2 to 4 inches just about every place. But you look at Algiers, the lower Ninth Ward, and parts of New Orleans East. And when you take on 9-10 inches of rain over the course of 3 or 4 hours, that's going to be, you're going to end up seeing water stacking up in the streets. and curb-to-curb level flooding. So it just, yeah, it depends. And that's, you know, Peyton Malone hit it on the head earlier. We know somebody in South Louisiana is going to get a lot of rain. We just don't know exactly who.
So let me talk about, if I can, Scott Walker said this, council member of Jefferson Parish, talked about water being in the streets, and I thought he made a good point yesterday, which is, and I know that's Jefferson Parish, but if it's in the streets and it's not in the house and it rains 9 inches, then you guys, in essence, have done your job, right?
Well, when the system is laid out for an inch an hour, I would much rather see it in the street, curb to curb, than getting up into lawns, into homes. Property damage is always something that should be avoided. It's something we don't want to see. But, yeah, water in the street and in the curb. If we get 9 inches of rain over a couple hours, that would be an outcome that you just can't avoid. That's the best you can hope for in those circumstances.
What is, do you guys, have you ever plotted, like, I know 9 inches is crazy, but I know it's an inch an hour on an average half an inch after that, but, like, where you get into trouble, a 3-inch zone, the 4-inch zone in an hour, Steve, or is that as simple as that?
It is more complicated than that, and it depends on the part of the city that you're in. So, for instance, New Orleans East is actually one of our most resilient areas because you've got more redundancy. If you really want to dive into it, there's a great book called Draining New Orleans that talks through some of that. But the short answer is there's not an easy or simple explanation, but it depends on the neighborhood.
Would there be a movie, Draining New Orleans? Because I'd much rather watch a movie than read the book. But maybe
someday.
It all depends on the elevation as well, right? I mean, water's going to seek its level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. So when I get reports of street level flooding, the first thing I'm checking is the intersection or the street or the property where the issue is. And then we have real-time data at our pump stations for canal elevations. And most of the time, the vast majority of the time, in fact, what I find is that the street elevation is above that of the canal, and water having the habit of flowing downhill. That generally indicates that it starts with that small diameter drainage and the canals and making sure those things are clear.
You know, it's hard to find an engineer with a sense of humor, but water having the habit of flowing downhill. Now, that's engineer comedy, my friend. Let me take a break. We'll do a tale of the pumps and the power and all that stuff when we come back. Text comes in, is insanity, another major rainstorm coming. The city's doing the same thing, expecting a different result. I don't know what this texter wants anybody to do, because the city is below sea level, and that's just the way it is. A couple other people texting in, Steve, about how big of a problem it is with lawn care companies blowing grass into the drains. We'll talk about all that when we come back. 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:57, 3 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Steve Nelson, General Superintendent, Surge Water Board of New Orleans. The water's got to get from the street into the drain. From there, it goes to the canal. Once it's in the canal, it has to be pumped out. The pump has to be powered in order to work. Steve, take it from there, please.
Yeah, you've captured it nicely. The system is all of that. It's catch basin, small diameter pipe, canal, and pumps. And all of those have to work in concert, and the pumps have to have power. And the pumps and the power to the pumps has been a key focus, and rightfully so, for the last probably 5 to 10 years. Ghassan Corbon, our previous executive director, had a major initiative to bring online a power complex project, which will be online this summer. It is well underway, and that's going to take us off of power generation from turbines, including turbine 4, which is well over 100 years old, and get us into a situation where we have a dedicated feed from Entergy as opposed to using the surface grid, and brand new equipment that is going to allow us to power these pumps instead of using 15 different sources of power. Even when we get to 70 megawatts, it's very, very complicated, and it'll get us to a place where it's much simpler, it's redundant, it's new, and it's not a panacea, because all of those things work together, catch basins, laterals, canals, but it's going to address one of those really weak links with some of our power generation.
So going into this evening's event, first of all, do you coordinate with the Department of Homeland Security or whoever it is that says neutral ground parking is allowed, NOLA ready? Do they check with you, or is that their call? And how confident are you with manpower, electrical power, pumps, et cetera, turbines. You got everything you need to take care of whatever's wrong.
Yeah, so NOSEP, Colin Arnold's group, he and I have one another on speed dial. If something unusual happens, NOSEP will lift or change parking restrictions. That's their prerogative, but we do stay in close contact in advance of and during weather. As far as pumping and power goes, we've got 88 pumps up. The vast majority of our big pumps are up and running. And those that are not running, we're working to get those online by hurricane season this year. And then as far as power goes, we've got 51.5 megawatts available. Turbine 5 has been online since earlier this week. Then the frequency changers that we have already available, that's kind of our next line. And then the electromotive diesels, or EMDs, those have all been run through a series of tests, and they're ready to run. That will give us 51 megs, and we need 44 megawatts of power at peak demand. So I'm comfortable with the power status at present.
Thank you, Steve. Good luck. God help us all. We'll talk to Deuce when we come back.